one and all. We want to thank that brother for his prayer and for God's blessings upon us. Also, I want to thank the song leader, that choice of songs. A lot of times, we miss the importance of songs and the time and the effort that people put in. And in this particular song, 297, it says, "Soon this life will be over, and our pilgrimage will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home with Christ, our friend." I don't know if many of you know, as a sister over at De Gaulle, her name was Jolanda Riddick. Jolanda's services were yesterday. She was a registered nurse, and 56, 57, 59, somewhere up in there. Just on the way home after work, and said something to her husband, and he heard a noise in the hall, and that was Jolanda. Just fell out right there after work. When you hear news like that, you often think, man, what's going on? But we must understand that we all have an appointment. And we don't know how we're going to meet it, or we don't know when it's going to happen. As we go through life, we often hear about people who have found themselves in difficult situations and either consequently lose their lives, like the folks out there in Houston this morning, in Cleveland. A lot of folks in the world are evil. They're evil and they're desperate. And many of them have psychological problems. And we have to pray for our world. We've got a world that's pretty much almost like, I guess, the world was when God decided to bring the flood. And I wanted to say that because as we look at our topic from our book, Aim for Restoration, that's really what the world needs. Our book, Aim for Restoration, talks about it in a little different format than what we're accustomed to. Normally, when we talk about restoration, we're looking at the subject from restoring New Testament Christianity. And in the foyer, there's a track called The Restoration Plea. If you haven't had it, looked at it, we're going to ask you to take a look at it. Because The Restoration Plea is important. But this is talking about restoring New Testament Christianity. And that for sure is an important topic. Anyone does not have a book yet? Okay. This is April the what? 30. Yes. April is gone. I can't believe it either. And what we've been doing, we've kind of been trying to follow the format that our author does in the book. And what he does is he does a warm-up. And following the warm-up, he goes ahead with the workout. And then he does a cool-down. And so that's pretty much what I've been doing for the month of April. Kind of wanted to do a warm-up with you. Get us all on the same page before we get into the meat of the lesson. And so we've been looking at some things, and one of the things I wanted us to look at was how we got ourselves into this situation. We had paradise, didn't we? Humanity. We were in full fellowship with God. Adam and Eve were just loving the fellowship they had with God. Walking around bucketed naked, didn't they? All was good. But of course, as a result of what happened in Genesis chapter 3, we find that they were deceived. And consequently, that fellowship, that perfect fellowship, was broken. And sin entered into the equation. And that sin thus separates us from God. And we must understand that as a result of that sin, it was necessary for God to come up with a what? He had to come up with a plan. Because he wanted to restore that relationship with fallen man. And so consequently, he makes this statement, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That was the beginning of God's plan to save man. In order to do that, God was going to call a man from his home and ask him to do something very important. And in Genesis chapter 12, he calls Abraham. And he calls Abraham to leave his land, which was pretty much known for idolatry. His daddy was an idolater. And told him basically, look, I'm going to ask you to leave. And I want you to go to a place, and when you go to this place that I'm going to send you, I'm going to make some promises to you. Now, you know what? All my life, God has never talked to me. God ever talked to you? I mean, outside of through his word. You know? Not ever, never. Now, how do I feel about that? Well, I know one thing for sure. That's not God's plan for me or for anybody else. But God made some promises to Abraham. I mean, just talk to him. Isn't that amazing? And so on your handout, that's what you're going to be looking at. You're going to be looking at the three dispensations of time as we continue our little warm-up, because I want us to understand these dispensations as we begin our study. The patriarchal age, the Mosaic age, and the Christian age. For many of you, that's going to be a rehash. We ought to know this, but I just want to be sure. But God told Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. You're going to have descendants that's going to inherit the land. He said, of your seed, I'm going to make a great nation, and you're going to be the father of many nations, and through your seed, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed. What a rich promise to make. And he does that. And so in your handouts, you're going to notice the first 11 chapters of Genesis deals with what happened in the garden, Cain and Abel, how wickedness prevailed, how Noah had to come, and those precious promises that God made to Noah, the great flood occurs. And then in Genesis chapter 12, we have the call of Abraham, and all of the rest of Genesis deals with Abraham and his seed. Don't you find that interesting? the first 11 chapters, I would have thought we would have learned more about all of what was going on. But God decided that I want you to know about this family that's coming. And so from Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis 50, what are we looking at? We're looking at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Israel. That's a lot of material to cover about a family. But God spoke to the fathers back then, directly to the patriarchs. It was a family religion. Animal sacrifices was in full effect, as well as the family altar. And that continued until the time of Moses. Now, that family that we're looking at, Abraham, his wife named what?
Sarah.
Sarah was barren, but the promise was sure. You're going to have a child in your old age. So at 75 years old, here goes Abraham leaving his home country, going off to Canaan. Him and Sarah and Lot and the bunch, and they head on off, counting on the promises of God. And they get out there and they got people there already. God says, I'm going to give you this land. There's people there already. And they kind of some fearsome looking folk. But he's trusting God. And so in the face of all that, and standing on the promises of God, Abraham and Sarah eventually do have children. But they go through a little problem, don't they? Help yourself. They figure we need to give God an assist, because this thing ain't happening fast enough. So they go ahead, and that's why they have a child through a woman named Hagar. And Hagar was what? Huh? Yeah. She was an Egyptian. And as a result, they have a boy by the name of what? Ishmael. And consequently, Sarah and Ishmael kind of have some problems, don't they? Because all of a sudden now, Sarah is feeling a little what? Yes. Abraham still got it going on. I thought it might have been him. But no. No. It's me. Feeling inadequate. Feeling less than. And she wants to run Hagar off and does. But eventually what happens? Yeah, they go back and get her from out in the desert. And she comes on back. And when she gets on back, God says, look, I got a plan for him because he's your seed. So I got a plan for Ishmael as well. But eventually at the age of what? Almost 100 and Sarah being 90, God does give them that promised boy named who? Isaac. And we read about Isaac. What a beautiful boy he was. You think about Isaac, and you got to know that Isaac had a very special relationship with Abraham, but an even more special relationship with God. And as we look at the lives of these patriarchs, I hope you see yourself in these people. I really do. I hope you see that their family life was not what? They ain't perfect. It's one thing about God. God's going to give you the skinny. He's going to share the good, the bad, and the what? All of that, man. All of that. And that's our situation in life most of the time. In our families, it's going to be good. It's going to be bad. And it's going to be ugly. We're going to have to deal with it because we're going to have to deal with this thing called sin. And sin is what tears us apart. I mean, it just literally tears us apart from one another. And of course, as a result of them finally having Isaac, they decide that what they want to do is that they want to find a bride for Isaac. And they don't want him to marry no women out of what? Huh? No women out of the people that's already in the land, these Canaanite folks, because these folks must have been something horrible, huh? I don't know what they had going on out there. But he said, look, you can't marry none of these women. So he gets him to go find a bride from where? You know the story. Where does he have to go? Huh? Yes. Who is Laban? Huh? That's who? She's got a brother. And he's off somewhere, and he's going to send his servant out there by Laban to find a bride for Isaac. And they eventually find a bride for Isaac, but Laban is a what? What kind of man do you think he is? Huh? Yeah. He's got a little wickedness in him. He's got a little deceit in him. And like a lot of families, we always gonna do what's in our own best interest. And so when they get out there, and that's somewhere around verse number Genesis, now we're already up to Genesis 27. He gets out there and they find her. And who do they find? She's a beautiful girl. And when they find her, they want to get her on back to see the family. And oftentimes when we run into kinfolk, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with family trying to accept new people into the family. I want to meet your in-laws, because some of them may be what? Some of them may be outlaws. You won't be sure. And so it comes to pass that God makes a covenant with Abraham. And we'll talk a little bit about covenants because they're very important in Scripture. And one of the things that God does is that he's going to continue that theme of having a covenant with Abraham, and then having a covenant with Isaac, and that covenant relationship is very important. But at any rate, Isaac finds Rebekah, and Rebekah's got a problem as well, and that is what? She too is what? Barren initially. And of course, she's all into her feelings as well. Because at that time, that was the primary way in which a woman would show her value to the family. And so having kids was very important because oftentimes that determined whether a family was going to be successful or not in life and in their relationship with one another. Of course, they would put value and stock on their herds and their cattle. But by and large, they were herdsmen. And they're just out there in the wilderness, walking the earth. kind of lifestyle is that? You're in a desert, just walking the earth. And you know God is with you. And he's got a plan for you. And his plan is to make you great. And eventually what happens between Isaac and Rebekah? What does God do? Anybody want to share a little bit? Now remember, this is your class. I'm not standing before you as some know-it-all, because I don't know it all. But we share what we do know with one another. What do we know about that couple? That God has now, in seed form, allowed Isaac to have children. What do we know? What do you want to share? Anybody?
May Rebecca pray to have
Oh, yeah.
And the children were fighting in the
womb. Yes. Yes. We come to find that not only is she pregnant with one, but she's pregnant with two. And the scripture says that she asked God about it. And God told her what was going on. God talked to her. Told her exactly what's going on. What's going on with me? My prenatal visits to the doctor, I know something wrong. So you got a couple of nations in you and they're struggling. And sure enough, she has these twin boys. Name what? Jacob and Esau. Twin boys. And as we learned, eventually, from this family will come the 12 sons of Jacob. And we looked at the handout on last week, and that's kind of what we wanted you to focus on. From a majority of these boys will come the 12 tribes of Israel. Because God is going to keep his promise. And his promise to Abraham was, I'm going to make you a great nation. All the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, all 12 of these boys come into the family line. And all of them got issues. And they're near one of them perfect. But God's going to work with them. And he does. So in your handout, as we go through the life of Isaac and Jacob and then twin Boaz, eventually Rachel does give birth. And who does she give birth to? She gives birth to Joseph, the firstborn. And that's going to be the Joseph that winds up going where? Huh? Going into Egypt. Going into Egypt. Now she also has Benjamin. And when she has Benjamin, she kind of, what happens to her? She dies. Out in the desert, many people say it was in the place known as the road to Bethlehem. And that was her life. That was her contribution to God's plan. God's plan to save man involved these beautiful people who loved God, obeyed God, gave their lives. I often think about the women of that day. They were strong women, women of strong character, women of strong faith, But women who, despite limitations, did what they had to do. And oftentimes, women are going to be the first to do that in life. And what they had to do was, again, protect their own self-interest. And if you notice, all of them had their favorites. And we talked about that a little bit. You know, when we looked at Isaac, and Jacob, they all had their favorites. And maybe with you and your family members, maybe you have your favorites. Maybe there are some kids in your family that, I don't know, there was some song writer or said, you know, this child I just love, but this other one I'd like to burn. I don't know who sang that song, but it's interesting that a lot of times we find ourselves dealing with children in a horrible way. I don't know what happened to the lady in Harahan and why she killed the 6-year-old little girl. Walked her on down to her mama's house and put her in a bucket and left her on the porch. Any thoughts on that? Is that mental illness? Of course it is. Why did this happen? Does the biological mama blame God? Why, God? How do you deal with something like that in your family? I don't know if she was a woman of faith, but how do you even face your church members, huh? Pray for us. It's a crazy woman and kill our child. I'm about ready to kill her. But God says what? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. How do we deal with people that sin against us and now stand in need of restoration? Stand in need of forgiveness. I ain't got no forgiveness for you at all. Got a bunch of hatred. And isn't that essentially how the twins felt towards one another? You see, after a little while of them living together, Jacob and Esau had a problem with one another. Remember what that problem was? Anybody want to share? What'd Jacob do? Yeah. Anybody want to tell the story a little bit? Yeah.
And he took his birthright.
Yeah.
He inherited everything that his father had for him.
Yeah. The scripture says, as a result of his dealing with his brother, and Esau hated him. I hate my brother. Stole my birthright. Deceived my daddy, and I stole my blessing. So one he stole, and the other one got stole. So now he's left with almost nothing. And so as a result, Mama said, boy, you're going to have to leave. And so that's what happens. He goes ahead and he leaves, and I like what she said. She kind of tells him, because Mama was kind of instrumental, wasn't she, in all of that? In what way was she instrumental? Anybody want to share a little bit?
She told Jacob to do that.
Yeah.
To see if his father.
Yeah. She came up with the plan. Women will do what they have to do. If the circumstances are right. One of the most dangerous creatures that I ever walked here. You best believe. They cannot be taken for granted, dismissed, and or not listened to. Because they are always what? Oh, they listening. They'll see what you don't see. They'll feel what you ain't never felt. And essentially, she tells him, look, I want you to go ahead on down there and let Esau get over this thing. But essentially, that was the last time she ever saw him. I don't know how many times that may have happened in people's lives where they say, you know, oh, they'll get over it. You in a situation where somebody hurt you and they telling you, you'll get over it. A couple of days, a couple of weeks, forget about it, and you move on. Our relationship will be back together. You still thinking about it till this day. Might have been 20 years ago. You ain't never got over it. Can't get over it. So eventually, when you look at your outline, God tells them that your people, as a result of the covenant relationship, are going to be down in Egypt for about 400 years. And so that's how God fulfills his promise to Abraham. He gave him that seed promise. He gave him that land promise. And he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. Now, eventually, when they get down there in Egypt, the Bible pretty much says that it was about 70 of them that went down into Egypt. As we come out of the book of Genesis. But eventually, in time, they become a great nation. And so God fulfills his promises. And that's what I want you to get. And I think that's the importance of Genesis 12 through 50. To see and understand that God is a God that makes precious promises. But he keeps his. And oftentimes we make a lot of promises to people, don't we? Sometimes we don't even remember what we promised. Oh, I promise you, I'm going to, baby, girl, I'm going to get you a house. I'm going to get you some diamonds. I never forget that song. It comes every Christmas, and the guy's knocking on the door. Say, open the door, it's cold out here. I know I promised. Promised you this, and promised you that. I ain't got you no house, but I got you a double wide. As men, we often do that. One of the worst things we can do is make a promise to a woman, huh? I got that on lock. Remember, you promised? Somebody asked me one time, if your wife did something, cheated on you or whatever, would that cause you to put her out the house? Charles, oh, Charles, tell the truth. Make everybody a lie. Would you put her out the house, Joe? It's a hard thing for a man to accept a cheating woman. But boy, when you look at a cheating man, we kind of overlook that, because that's what? Huh? Yeah. Go back to that thing about, oh, he's just sowing his wild oats and he's a man, yada, yada. Now, so when those times come, and that's what the author is going to be dealing with in the first chapter of the book that we eventually going to get to. But I want us to understand and see that the great and precious promises of God were kept. And when we get to the end of Genesis, and these people begin to go on, Abraham lived to be 175, and his boys buried him. Isaac lived to be 180, and his boys buried him. Joseph lived to be 110. But then we get another situation, because his boys are what? His brothers are jealous of him. And they sell him off down there to Egypt. But God is with Joseph. And eventually Joseph marries an Egyptian woman and has a couple of boys. And they're who? They're known as, yeah. So they're not really direct from, I guess you would say, the line. But God allowed Joseph to marry this Egyptian woman, and she has Ephraim and Manasseh. And that's where we get the 12 tribes of Egypt. And so from these 12 tribes, God is going to fulfill his promise of making a great nation. And so when we get to the time of Moses and the patriarchal age, we find that the law came by Moses, and eventually get to the Christian age, and we see that that seed promise that God has been fulfilled. He said to the serpent, the seed and the woman's seed, there'll be enmity between the two. The seed that you have, oh, he's gonna bruise your head. You're gonna bruise his heel. And indeed, the seed that eventually comes is Christ. And we find that in 2 Timothy, where it says, and again, when you look at the line of descent that eventually follows, that's what the Bible is all about. It's about God's plan to restore man. And he does that through this family of patriarchs. And that story continues today. We've got about how many minutes left? About five. I'm going to give you a chance to stretch. I'm going to give you a chance to answer any questions you might have. One of the things I want you to focus on is that Bible study is just that. We're not here to tell part of the story. We're not here to make ourselves look big or mighty in anybody's sight. But Bible study is what we do when we come together. We study God's word and hopefully can help one another to restore relationships that need to be restored. And all of us at some time or another are going to have our relationships that need to be restored. It may be between a husband and wife, a sister or a brother, maybe a co-worker. You never know. But because of sin, we're going to find ourselves needing to offer forgiveness to someone in order to get our relationship back right. And sometimes I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. Because the pain is so great, it's so deep. And I want us to be familiar with these patriarchs because the question has to be asked, especially between Jacob and Esau, did they ever really get back right? Because that's essentially what restoration is to get back right, get that friendship back the way it used to be, to restore that fellowship with God is the first path to hopefully being able to do that with others. And so we're going to begin next week with your books. That's our warm-up, and we're going to begin with the very first lesson in the book. Any questions, any comments? Thank you for your presence.